Welcome to the South Carolina State Library's podcast, Library Voices SC. I'm Curtis Rogers, Communications Director, and today I'm pleased to have with us in our studio Dr. Agnes Mueller. She is Director of the University of South Carolina's Global Studies Program. Dr. Mueller, and am I saying that correctly, Mueller?
Absolutely.
Okay, perfect. Good. Dr. Mueller received her Master of Arts from Ludwig Maximilian University in Munich, Germany, and her PhD from Vanderbilt University, and is an expert on recent and contemporary German literature. She is a core faculty member in comparative literature and is also affiliated with women's and gender studies and with Jewish studies at the University of South Carolina. Her publications are on German-American relations, multicultural studies, gender issues and in contemporary literature, German-Jewish studies, and Holocaust studies. Her 2004 anthology, German Pop Culture, How American Is It?, published by the University of Michigan Press, is widely used for teaching and research. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for the introduction, and thank you for having me. I'm very excited to talk with you.
Glad to have you here. So I recently came across this new degree program at the University of South Carolina called Global Studies, and it immediately piqued my interest, and I thought a lot of people need to be aware of the program. So can you tell me what it is and maybe how it came about?
Yes, absolutely. So the University of South Carolina has a lot to be proud of, and I would say the Global Studies program is really a jewel in its crown because it's the fastest growing program that we've ever had.
Wow.
It was implemented in 2016, and we already have over 120 majors. Most of them are double majors, most of them are high achieving. Mm-hmm. Almost all of them have an interest in global affairs already, and if they don't at the beginning of the program, they become interested very quickly.
Right.
They usually go on study abroad, so mm-hmm. They also gain those kinds of experiences. And the way the major is structured is really very different from any other major at the University of South Carolina, and is also different from global studies majors at other universities.
Okay.
So first of all, I'll explain a little bit about the structure. So the way in which this works is that students can focus on one of five areas of concentration. The first one and the most sort of popular one is conflict and security. That's sort of your typical political sciences concentration.
Okay.
The second one, which is very popular also, is environmental studies.
Mm.
The third one is art and culture, which is close to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth one is health, global health,
okay.
Which is gained a lot of interest in the recent past. And the new concentration that we have and that we think is an exciting opportunity for students with an interest in the economy is called leadership in the global economy.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it the business concentration
mm-hmm.
because that's really what it is. So students pick one of those five areas of concentration, and then they can pick one of 7 to 8 world regions and combine that. And they have a language requirement, which is pretty substantial. It's a 300 level proficiency, which means they can actually go and be fluent in the language.
Okay.
They don't, however, have to stick with the language that they already know. If they develop an interest in a different region,
mm-hmm.
they can, for instance, be have their language requirement in Spanish, but go to Japan or focus on Japan as their area of interest. So
okay.
there's a lot of flexibility with this program.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's so flexible, it's very difficult for students to put together their program of studies in some cases
right.
because, you know, they're overwhelmed and they think, oh my gosh, what can I take? So we are in the incredibly fortunate position of having two advisors in the College of Arts and Sciences who are
mm-hmm.
the most experienced advisors
mm-hmm.
in the college who advise every global studies student
okay.
and who basically devise an sort of individual program of studies for each of them.
Yeah, because it sounds so interdisciplinary, because if you're interested in health and you might want to take some epidemiology classes, or you might want to take, if you're in, you know, art and literature, or
right.
it sounds like it's very, very broad, which is
yes.
really nice.
It is nice. And so that's also what makes it unique compared with our peer and peer aspirant institutions, because
mm-hmm.
most institutions develop global studies out of existing departments.
Oh.
So if you have a department, it usually has an emphasis and an agenda, and it wants students to take courses in a specific area. So
mm-hmm.
it's very often really tied to political sciences mm-hmm. or even to a traditional languages department. Mm-hmm. And we are not. We are a freestanding program in the College of Arts and Sciences, and we also collaborate with the business school and with the School of Public Health and with the School of Music. So we have all of those ties with the other units at the university. So basically, the students can take advantage of everything that the campus has to offer, mm-hmm. but be housed really in the College of Arts and Sciences. So they will have a traditional liberal arts mm-hmm. background, mm-hmm. But really with a global view and mm-hmm. also with all of those interdisciplinary possibilities that they can tailor around their own interests.
Okay. So how did the program come about? Were you involved? Were you the one who opened your mouth and said, we need to have this, and then you got put in charge of it? Or
In a way, yes and no. So the way the program came about was that I think at a higher administrative level, it was decided that the university needed to do more in terms of internationalization. Oh. And that especially for South Carolina populations, it would be really important to just be more globally connected. Mm-hmm. So that led to the creation of Global Carolina, which is run out of the provost's office.
Okay.
And Global Carolina decided that this would be a good program to, first of all, recruit students internationally, because that's one thing that we're also doing with this program, mm-hmm. but also really to give South Carolina students more of an opportunity to go and study abroad and to really have a program that offers that kind of flexibility. So it was an administrative decision, and it was at first really started out of political sciences, mm-hmm. But in order to not limit it to political sciences and also to really reduce confusion with international studies, mm-hmm. which is a program that mm-hmm. political sciences runs,
right.
It was then taken out of that area and made a program in the college. And that's when I was asked to take over. And I think it's because of my experience with other interdisciplinary programs. I've been involved with comparative literature. I've been graduate director of women's and gender studies. Mm-hmm. I've been graduate director of languages, literatures, and cultures. So I've just done a lot of work administratively in international programming and also in sort of leadership positions that connect students across campus and don't just stay in one area. So I think that's why they asked me to run it. And it is, I have to say, it really is a fabulous program. I didn't even fully understand how fabulous it was mm-hmm. and how much we could do with it until I actually really became involved and started talking with students and also started to see how much they needed this and how many students were really looking for something like that. I talked with business students and they said, you know, business is a great degree. And of course we have a fabulous business school, mm-hmm. but I'm not interested in just doing calculus. Mm-hmm. And I'm not interested in doing marketing all that much.
Right.
I like marketing and I'm interested in it, but I want to do more. Mm-hmm. And I want to also see real life applications more.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we really then have fabulous opportunities, because they can not only do study abroad, but they can also do internships abroad.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can find a way for the study abroad office to make the connection for them, mm-hmm. they can go and spend a summer, you know, at a company in Europe.
Mm.
And that's, of course, an amazing experience that, you know, the
Definitely.
Business school also supports. But with global studies, they can combine that with other world regions. They mm-hmm. can combine it with more language studies. And I think they will actually come out being much more well-rounded.
And you probably have to have a lot of partnerships across the campus, because
yes.
you talk about all these different areas of concentration and, of course, geography, like we talked about earlier.
Yes.
That's, you know, a big part of it. Do you have partnerships with, I know Dr. Snyder is in charge of, isn't it the Maxey College? That's
right.
the
mm-hmm.
international college.
Yes.
So do you have partnerships with groups like that?
Yes. So one of the good things about me is that I've been here for over 20 years.
Okay.
So I know.
That does help.
Yes. I know a lot of people, and I've worked with a lot of people already. And so, yes, we have a core faculty, first of all, that really stretches not only across the college from all different fields, but really across the university. So I've really tried to also build relationships outside of the college. I'm right now working on a project with the School of Public Health.
Mm.
So I have three people in the School of Public Health who we're working on a project together with, and that's really up and coming because global health is a big issue.
It is.
And the School of Public Health is fabulous, but they work mostly with graduate students. Mm-hmm. So this is their opportunity to also really integrate undergraduate study. And so that's a really exciting venue. And I work, of course, with the Maxi House. We're trying to right now talk with admissions and find ways that we can have global studies majors live at Maxi House because it makes perfect sense for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that we also create more of a community, because one of the challenges for the global studies students is how to stay connected.
Mm-hmm.
Since they all pursue such different individual paths, they often don't see each other very much in classes.
Right.
So we want to create some kind of group identity. And one way, of course, is Maxi House. Another way in which we're doing it is through events. So we have global cafe events. We had about 2 to 3 a semester.
Mm-hmm.
Where we bring everyone together, usually around a theme.
Mm-hmm.
So the last semester, for instance, we had one theme was global health, and we had President Pastidis talk about his experiences working in the field, which is something we often forget, you know, because he's our university president.
That's
We don't think of
him as a
scholar.
You only think of him as the president.
Yes,
yeah.
But he's a fabulously interesting scholar and has really great things to say. So he talked a lot about different regions of the world that he had traveled, not for his administrative work, but really for his research. And that was totally exciting to the students.
Sure.
And we also had, for the students who are interested in conflict and security, we had someone who is actually an Honors College alum, and he is now the Consul General of Brazil.
Wow.
And he Skyped in for a conversation with the Global Studies majors, and he told them about what it takes to get a career in the State Department going, and what his experiences are with working for nonprofits versus State Department. And basically, he had lots of exciting stories to tell because he was on different assignments. He's now in Brazil, but he was also in the Middle East.
Wow.
And he's also just a great conversationalist. And he's very excited about global studies. He said that if that had been around when he was a student, that's definitely what he would have majored in.
That's exactly what I was thinking, because when I came across this, I thought, that's exactly what I would have loved to major in, you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah, so we do those events, and I'm right now, I've talked, 2 days ago, I talked with the honorary consul to Germany. Of course, German studies being my own field, that was easy.
Mm-hmm.
And he is very involved in the region of North Carolina and South Carolina with businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to put together an event specifically for the business community where he could come and speak and really also maybe make connections for students for internships.
Yeah, that would be great. Also, I've been to a few of the luncheons that the Columbia World Affairs Council does.
So yeah, we collaborate with them too.
Okay. Great. Wonderful.
Yeah, so it's a program that really offers all of these opportunities, and for first of all for the students, but then of course also for interested faculty.
Mm-hmm.
So my goal is really to build a community around student and faculty and really business partners, as well as interested, you know, others in the community to come together and really think about what it means to be globally connected.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not as, you know, when you say globalization or when you use the term global, it often sounds as if you mean nothing and everything. So it's often not very specific. In fact, my daughter said to me, she's 16, and when she heard that I was directing global studies, she said, oh, it's one of those programs where people who don't really know what they're supposed to do are going to, you know, collect. And I said, no. You're wrong. Because it actually really means a lot, because it's so important, I think, today for us to be aware of what's going on in different regions. And it's also important to have a deep knowledge, not only a superficial knowledge. And that's why we really want for students to concentrate on one world region, because they can then study one area in depth. And that's how they really understand problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can do comparative studies and apply it to other regions. But first, really, they need to get to know one area.
Yeah.
So that's what we mean by global. It's not, oh, we kind of have an idea of everything.
Right.
No, we want to really know in depth about one specific area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what kinds of jobs could new graduates find with a degree in global studies in one of the concentration areas?
So I think this is probably one of the most attractive aspects of the program for parents, mm-hmm. because I speak with parents all the time, and of course their main concern is, I do not want my son or daughter to move back in with me again after they graduate. So,
exactly.
So the most obvious and the most common career aspiration is usually either in the State Department mm-hmm. or in some nonprofit organization that concerns itself with world affairs. Mm-hmm. That's probably the most coveted and also the most obvious trajectory. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But really any career in business that deals with, and you know, this is by now any business really, mm-hmm. that deals internationally is totally an attractive career path mm-hmm. because not only will the students have this sort of basic liberal arts education that I think is absolutely fundamental mm-hmm. for functioning really in any company setting, because if you want to work with people, you need to know people. And
right, and I start thinking of like someone who is maybe a cultural attaché who,
yes.
you know, they have to understand how both cultures work
exactly.
so that a business deal could actually take place.
Exactly, exactly. So it's that in-depth knowledge of a region and not only its problems necessarily, because we like to focus on problems because we mm-hmm. think we can fix them, mm-hmm. but also just the culture and the mentality in that region.
Right.
And with that, of course, goes the language. So, you know, people often say, oh, global studies seems kind of hard because you have that language requirement. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do, because we do believe in people actually speaking the language mm-hmm. so that they can get deeper than, you know, you can if you don't speak
right.
the language. So the 300 level language requirement sort of forces us to know that. And that's, I think, what makes it possible to really understand people.
Mm-hmm.
People always talk about the sort of additional qualifications that students gain when they pursue a liberal arts degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that they're additional. I think they're core. I think they're absolutely
mm-hmm.
vital.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they will manifest not necessarily right immediately after someone is hired, but sort of in the trajectory of 10 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's when this foundation in the liberal arts that we also require really becomes important.
Right.
And so any business is really a very good place for a graduate of global studies. And then, of course, if they have a focus in global health, you
mm-hmm.
know, there's the mm-hmm. World Health Organization.
Yep.
There are many, many places. And many of them even pursue graduate studies that are more specifically located in the health sciences.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, of course, also something that a global studies degree really primes them for. I just recently talked with a student who is going to do an MA in public health, and she said she so wishes that global studies had been available earlier to
mm-hmm,
her
mm-hmm.
because she feels that public health is great, but she wants to do more with a global outlook. And,
mm-hmm.
and she also wishes she could already have done that as an undergraduate.
Right.
So I think any health science, you know, that people want to pursue further studies in is an obvious choice. And then, of course, also, you know, anything that you would traditionally have seen your English majors in that,
right.
you know, now parents are worried and they say, oh, I don't want my child to just be an English major.
Right.
Well, this is an English major and then so much more,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. especially because of the anthropological and geography components.
Definitely, yeah. One of the things as you were talking made me think of, do you have to also have partners abroad? You know, like I remember being in Germany and going to the Max Planck Institute.
Yes.
And, you know, there are lots of institutes across
yes.
the world.
Yes.
So do you build partnerships with them?
Yes. That's sort of our next step, that we really have places where we can send students with confidence. The university already has memorandums of understanding with a lot of other institutions
mm-hmm.
worldwide. Not only in Germany, I mean, Germany is where I happen to know
right.
a lot, but really worldwide. I'm right now working on a partnership with China.
Mm-hmm.
We already have pretty well working partnerships with two institutions in China, and we're right now working on a third one where we will have an actual exchange. So we have students from their institution coming here,
mm-hmm.
and we can also send our students there.
Wow.
The tricky thing with these kinds of exchanges is that, you know, it has to be possible for our students to take courses mm-hmm. and for them to be meaningful and to count when they come back. So mm-hmm. we have to look very closely at their course offerings and whether the demographics match right. and all of that. So it's not always easy, but we do have a lot of existing partnerships and we're working on more. And I think that probably Asia is really the region where we can do more. Mm. We are pretty well situated already in Europe. We have many agreements with Germany, with Italy, with Eastern Europe, and so on and so forth. We have a lot going on with Russia. But I think Asia is really a region that a lot of students are interested in. Mm-hmm. And then with a view to health, Africa.
Yeah.
But that's
there's
really
been a recent Ebola
exactly.
outbreak again.
Yes,
so.
Yeah. And one study that we're sort of hoping to push forward is actually working on non-infectious disease, which, of course, Africa doesn't come to mind when you think of non-infectious disease, but
right.
it actually is also an issue because there are lots of diseases in Africa that are not infectious, but that mm-hmm. are chronic and that mm-hmm. are important to think about. So our hope is that with this new program, we can, for instance, have undergraduate students do field work and really gain valuable experience just by going there and
Definitely.
Seeing how the living conditions actually are, and it's mm-hmm. very different, as you know yourself, when you
right.
go to a place from what you expect it to be.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. we really hope that that's going to be an exceptionally valuable learning experience. And we focus especially on beyond the classroom and experiential learning when mm-hmm. we think about these kinds of courses. So
mm-hmm.
we really try to do some traditional, of course, in classroom curriculum, but we also are really expanding our beyond the classroom curriculum when mm-hmm. it comes to these things. So yes, we do have partnerships, and yes, we will have more.
That's great. So how do most students come to the program? Do they either have just an interest in a certain language or in the geography department
mm-hmm.
or, you know, like you said, in
Both.
Business and
mm-hmm.
health?
Yeah. So really they come to us very often by word of mouth. So they hear about global studies either from their advisors
mm-hmm.
or from other students, or what actually probably most of our majors are double majors.
Mm-hmm.
So they're majoring in a language or they're even majoring in something like biology.
Oh.
And they have an interest that expands beyond their current major.
Sure.
So I would say about 70% of global studies majors are double majors.
Okay.
And they come to us through their advisors. And they are usually already very well primed.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't need a lot of explanation. Once they see what the degree is really about, they're like, oh, yeah, I get it. I get it.
That's
I want
exactly
to do that.
What I want to do.
So, yeah. And especially the ones, of course, in geography and in anthropology, they already come with a really broad knowledge of regions of the world,
mm-hmm.
and that helps. And then the ones who do language also come with a specific area interest, and so they have to fill in a little bit on the geography and anthropology
mm-hmm.
side.
Mm-hmm.
But usually they hear about it. We also have started to do a lot of outreach to admitted students or the top scholars
mm-hmm.
Who come and visit and who haven't decided on the University of South Carolina yet.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had 3 students of the top scholars who decided on USC because of global studies.
Wow.
So
that's great.
That's really exciting. So we have a lot of really excellent students
mm-hmm.
who also really see the opportunities that we provide.
That's wonderful. So with this being Library Voices, what's either the departmental relationship with libraries or how can libraries get involved with this kind of information?
So first of all, I think libraries are at the core of everything.
That's always nice to hear.
Well, that's because I'm, of course, a literature scholar
mm-hmm.
and I grew up with libraries. So to me, that is everything. And I also think that students very often when they study abroad will go to the libraries
mm-hmm,
first.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they in fact go because that's where they can get resources.
Okay.
And that's again where the language study comes in handy because
mm-hmm.
You can function in a library in a different country if you have a basic knowledge of the language.
Exactly.
If you don't, not so much.
And also it's something that feels comfortable because,
right.
you know, if they're back on campus at University of South Carolina, they know the library.
Exactly.
But a foreign campus is going to be, of course, completely foreign,
yes.
but there's going to be a library, so
exactly.
you can feel at home.
Yes, they can feel at home. They, of course, have computers there. Mm-hmm. So students nowadays, of course, travel with their own electronics.
Right.
But still, it's nice to be connected to a network that's local, mm-hmm. and that happens at the library. So I think that one way to really also raise awareness, because students do this sort of automatically without really thinking about it. Mm-hmm. They just kind of go to the library because they, you know, feel right. that there is a way for them to be at a place that's mm-hmm. not necessarily the strange dorm that mm-hmm. they end up mm-hmm. at, is to just point out to them, hey, you're actually going to a library, and what does it look like? And think about how it compares to your library at home. What kinds of resources are there? What kinds of resources did you expect? And what other resources did they maybe have that you didn't expect?
Right.
So I think that's a very, very important location. And it's a physical site as well as a virtual site, mm-hmm. because, you know, they can check out the library websites before they go, mm-hmm. and then they can actually go there and see it for themselves. So I think it's totally crucial for them.
Great. Do you have any kind of partnership with Thomas Cooper Library at the university here?
Well, I use it.
That's good.
Yes. I think in terms of the students, I have not made any sort of special effort to direct them to global studies. I think the students use it like they use the library for any
right.
other field.
Mm-hmm.
I could imagine that there would be some special librarian who could maybe be informed about global studies mm-hmm. and point them towards a collection,
right.
a digital collection or a virtual collection of libraries around the world
right.
in places. That's also something the Study Abroad Office could perhaps get involved with. So mm-hmm. I think that might be a link that's
yeah.
a good idea. So
great.
Thank you.
Great. So kind of in wrapping up, what kind of special projects either will you be working on in the coming months or maybe that are big things coming up with the department?
So the Global Studies Program is actually involved in trying to secure funding for an excellence initiative. Even if the excellence initiative doesn't meet with the final approval of the committee, we will pursue parts of this, and that's the global health mm-hmm. project that I was talking about. I think that's super fascinating. I'm not a global health scholar.
Mm-hmm.
I know nothing about health sciences, but I do know a lot about experiential learning and how students can really benefit from that mm-hmm. project.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm super excited to be working with colleagues in health and also to learn more about what they are doing and how it can connect for our undergraduate students. So that's one area.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I always do my own research, and I
right.
like to tell my undergraduate students, you know, first of all, I like to tell them about it. I also like to tell them why literature still matters,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which is not always obvious because they're like, oh, books. But so I'm working on a project on basically German Jewish literature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tentatively titled Holocaust Migration.
Mm.
And it's about how really the memory of the Holocaust has changed
mm.
in recent years, now that we don't have survivor testimony that's live
right,
anymore.
Right.
How do Germans in particular, but also how do we worldwide think about the Holocaust, since
mm-hmm.
it still is very much defining European politics
mm-hmm.
and also defining how we think about refugees in Europe.
Oh, yes, and immigration.
Yes, and immigration. So all kinds of issues are really tangled up with the Holocaust, even if people aren't conscious of it, and
mm-hmm.
even if they aren't specifically targeting it, it's still
mm-hmm.
a very important event, and it's an event that I think will change in people's imagination.
Yes.
So that's the new project that I'm working on right now.
Yeah, I just had a flashback to when I went to the Stasi archives, and
yes.
you see all the shoes, you
right.
know, and it's,
yes.
it's just, it makes you, you know, and that kind of awareness, that kind
right.
of makes you appreciate different things differently and
yes.
opens your eyes. So
right. And it wasn't that long ago that we had, you know, totalitarianism in Europe
mm-hmm.
in the heart of what's supposed to be an enlightened and civilized,
yes.
you know, country. So
mm-hmm.
that's, I think, very interesting for students also to become aware of, and
mm-hmm.
not only to study as a thing of the past, but also to look at how does it live on in people's memory. And how does it inform policies? You know,
mm-hmm.
why does Germany, for instance, have the immigration policies that it has?
Mm-hmm.
And why do we get scared of others? You know, what makes mm-hmm. us be welcoming towards refugees or rejecting them? Mm-hmm. And what does it lead to? And how does our thinking of the past really inform these decisions of now and of the future?
That's right.
So that's how literature isn't just books, mm-hmm. because you can see those kinds of changes in literature mm-hmm. Very clearly and much more intimately in many cases and on a much more personal level than in the public sphere. Mm-hmm. So that's really what my research is.
Yeah, great. Well, the only bad thing about global studies is that we could talk for hours and hours because it reaches so many different levels. But unfortunately, we don't have hours and hours to talk. So I just want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It was totally fun to talk with you.
Great. And thank you to our listeners. You can find Library Voices SC on Podbean, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio, or add us on your favorite podcast app. Our podcast website address is librarycast.podbean.com. We love hearing from our listeners, so please send us your comments and suggestions for future topics. Library Voices SC is the official podcast of the South Carolina State Library. Until next time, this is Curtis Rogers. Thanks for listening.